Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey, the final season. And it's episode 6. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hello, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
All right, this week didn't have any special effects. There was no expelling of any kind of blood-like.
No projectiles.
No, but we did have a lot of happening, right?
Yes.
And in fact, we were trying to figure out the rundown of how we were going to discuss this. I mean, there's so many intertwining stories, and they kept the energy going very well. I mean, it was an uptick from a couple episodes before the big one last week.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. We open up with the big open house. We're going to have a fundraiser for the hospital. Hospital's paying off nicely, thank God.
Finally.
Something's happening.
Something about the hospital.
Yes, exactly. So, I love that they went in upstairs, downstairs, the whole thing about who's, I'm for this. I think it's a good idea. Everybody's going, what are they looking at?
I think it's crackers.
It's crackers. And we got to see that Lord Grantham is resting comfortably.
Resting.
He's healing up nicely, but not happy at all.
But still has pain.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Who couldn't?
He did one of the old.
Yeah. Ooh. After your ulcer rupturing, who could not have a little bit of pain? But and I don't know what was more painful, the fact that he's recovering or that he's had people rummaging through his house.
Yes.
Not happy about it at all. This is crackers. What are they doing? All this kind of stuff. Were you guys surprised that Bates was like, what are they doing? You know, who would care?
I thought that was kind of weird.
I liked hearing everybody's viewpoint.
Oh, it was really helpful that he had. Yeah. Because, and Anna says, you don't care how other people live. No. You're not curious about that at all. Yeah. They sleep in a bed. They eat at a table.
Yeah, even the
just
king.
Like me.
That's right.
He didn't even fall for the royals thing.
They get arrested, accused of murder, just like me.
Just like me.
Yeah, so what could it be different?
Well, in Violet, they visit an actual dining room with an actual table.
And it was, I just thought that was fun to see it. And the whole, I thought this storyline was great for this episode, meaning the whole open house and everybody is in all their thoughts. And then when we get into the house and how that was kind of a disaster.
Yes.
But before we get there, let's talk about what leads up to it. So, obviously, Cora and Clarkson Cora meets with Clarkson and Isabel because they're talking about the hospital, how they've decided definitely to join these, and the local one is not going to be just on its own. And they've decided that, somebody's going to be put out to pasture.
Yeah.
And Cora's going to take Violet's place.
Ouch.
And I'm going, okay, I didn't really see that happening.
Yeah.
So. Did anybody see that coming?
I
didn't see it coming. And I go, oh, of course, nicely.
They sacked the captain.
sacked the captain. And what was the nice way they say that? She needs to allow to be stepped down after so many years of loyal service. And it's like, ooh, I guess that, that's the best way you could say that. But she's getting old and they've decided to move on and they don't want somebody of her, speaking ill of their decision and not being 100 behind it 100%. So it's a good idea.
I think that's, if I were delivering the news, that's the point.
Yeah, that would
make
be the argument.
Not
yeah, we can't have
not
you.
The, get out to pasture where the clover is nice out there.
Yeah. You'll be the hospital president emeritus. We're going to.
Yes.
So.
They'll still let you cut ribbons occasionally.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting Cora, too, because in the beginning she's just like, she's just, bad idea. She may have somebody. And even she says that somebody else should take over. We should find somebody else. But then she looks like, she's thought about it and she clearly wants to do it.
Yes.
Right.
Because she'd be good at it.
Well, the reason why they even thought of her in the first place was because she was articulate and stating her point. Mm-hmm. And, she was measured and not, all brought up in her passions about it, and her emotions. She was making kind of reasonable, rational decisions.
Yeah.
Educated decisions.
And you get a young Mrs. Grantham.
Younger
Mrs. Grantham.
Not according to Lord Grantham.
Exactly. That's right. Okay, but wait a minute. I didn't get, what was she all the snitter about? She was big and.
Because that was rude. He's like, don't you want to rest? Like, you've done all of it. No, she's not, like, dying and old and decrepit and can't walk.
But I didn't think he was
anymore.
Saying that. Yes, I mean, I was like, oh, come on. He's not saying you're old.
He was saying
just took
woman
that.
And you're in the latter years of your womanness, and you need to come lay down with me.
Okay, so you thought that too?
I didn't really think
down
that,
with me.
But yeah. I do, you know, you gotta be careful when you're talking to a woman of a certain age.
Oh, please. All right, okay. What? So what did he say? What were the words? What would he have said differently? Because I think just about anything he would have said, she would have taken like
the
that.
The whole rest thing is what got to me. Rest from what? Even if she raised her kids, she had help. They had a whole house full of people at that point. Like, what does she got to rest from? Somebody dresses her.
I think part of
she's
it
She's got
too.
Parties to plan. She has to entertain guests. She has a lot of responsibilities.
Well, I think part of the reason why she had that reaction was because he said, you don't need a job. And she said, no, neither of us needs a job. Mm-hmm. But maybe I want it.
Yeah, she's comparing herself to Isabel, she really wanted the career and all that. Her first career is over and all that.
The point of it just being that I think she felt a little invalidated by
him. Well, no, I get that part. I don't think he was calling her old by any means. And I just like, well, okay, well, all right. Whatever.
No, but tell a guy you're calling him, he's calling you old, it will
shut him
down.
Up. Are you so calling me old? Shut up.
That was it. If I wasn't, yeah, you're old. So,
rude. Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Rude.
All right. So, but
that's
I just,
all.
Like,
that's all.
All right. Well, someone's a little sensitive. You know.
Yeah, but, and maybe right. she is.
Maybe she is. Yes. Mm-hmm. Didn't they had their little situation last season where he wasn't being sensitive to her feelings mm-hmm. and that
that's
she's
right.
a thinking woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's
that's
not
right.
just some little flower to be set on a shelf to die.
Rude.
She wants to think and do things.
Okay, but here's
you
the thing.
Know that.
I get that part, but in the beginning of the episode, she's like, no, I really probably shouldn't do her. She's thinking that I don't really want to do this.
Only because of Violet.
Right?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. of the family politics.
She doesn't
so
want to cause
in a way,
problems.
He's validating that part of her.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Courtney says it.
All right. Well, I tried, Lord Grantham. I gave him my best shot.
But, little,
yeah,
you know,
all right, whatever.
Move it
still
along.
Slightly
okay,
yourself.
So in contrast to her not really wanting it in the beginning, Violet, of course, is really staking her claim to it because she thinks that, she is the president. She is the representative of the patients on Earth. And I was like,
right.
What? Wow. Okay. It was
great.
It's like, oh, yes, I'm representative about this. It was like, oh my God. Yeah. I didn't realize how far she was going to take this. And I'm sure that's what she thinks, or at least wants everybody else to think.
Well, and it was part of staking her claim.
Oh, absolutely.
She hasn't been that forceful with what her position is in a long time.
Well, it was always couched in some other way that, you know, tradition or we don't want somebody else taking over. But really, what it comes down to is like, I'm the representative.
Of the people.
I kiss my ring.
But she's going to be magnanimous in victory.
Yes.
So, which I'm not sure would ever be truth.
No.
I don't
ever.
Think magnanimous is a word we would use for
Lord
her.
Merton calls it because he says he hates this, not saying anything because they're always going to look
they
bad at the outcome. Yeah,
that was really cute. Even when Isabel sat down on the, Isabel sat down on the couch and she was just kind of like, but you'll be great. You really will. It's really uncomfortable.
Thank God it's
back.
Not me.
I know.
Yeah.
They were so cute.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. But did they really think that she wasn't going to find out? And then, I mean, I assume they knew that she would. Even Cora said it's going to be, you know, she's not worried about saying it in front of Baxter because it's going to be public knowledge soon. So of course she's going to find out at the most inopportune.
I think Cora was just really hoping the letter would just, you know.
Get there in time.
Get there. It would all be fine. And then.
Soften the
and
thing.
Then there won't be any conversation.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It'd just be not just one like, of those things not spoken
of.
Yeah,
not how it worked out.
Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, exactly. But you would, of course, she's going to find out. Of course, she's going to say something. Even if she found out by the letter, you know, she's going to come there and have that.
But to storm
fight
in
that,
during the open house.
I love the way she ranted to her son about the whole thing.
Yeah.
That part was like, I've treated her like a daughter.
And
is going
he
on
said,
and
like
betrayal,
like a daughter.
It was that big old sense of betrayal.
Emphasis on like.
Okay. But, it was just, it kind of falls empty to me. I was just going, like, what? And I thought Lord Grantham was great. He's going, look, neither of you made this decision. It was above your pay grade, basically. They don't
right,
care.
Exactly.
Official doesn't care about what we think anymore.
Yeah, he was really logical about the whole
which
thing.
Which was a surprise, a little bit of a surprise, just
it was
because.
Nice
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But he was clearly, just realizing that, you know, we got people in my house that would never happen before. Mm-hmm. Edith is like, you know, she's doing this magazine thing. That's cool. And he seems to say, whoa, where is this guy? Even Cora was saying, this is different. And he said, well, I've changed.
Yeah, evidently he has. Because he's
ruptured.
He's receiving guests in his bedroom in his pajamas.
A ruptured also did
it. Do you remember, it wasn't, you know, it was probably season two or three, when Tom was becoming part of the family, and they were all so concerned about, oh my God, I have to wear black tie to a white tie dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Shameful.
You know, just a matter of a few years ago, and now he's receiving guests in his silk pajamas. Yeah.
Well, even though it was under duress because he didn't want it, but they certainly allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. Yeah, how far we've come.
Yes.
How far? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, so prior to her Violet going up and ranting to her, I just, the open house, that was great because they're setting up the whole thing and, you know, they're doing it for fundraising. I go, what a weird way to fundraise. But
It
worked great. And the throngs of people wanting to see, and them not knowing any of the history, that was kind of strange.
Wouldn't that be a part of them, like, growing up and having to learn about stuff in the house?
Exactly. It's not like they go off to school. Yeah. They're getting educated by, you know, the homeschool or the governess or whatever.
Here's the thing. I think it clearly, well, Violet would have made sure that Lord Grantham knew, because that's part of the history and that's part of that tradition. So that's why she knows, this library is put together by the Fourth Earl. And then she's going on to her other agenda. But Cora might not have made that a huge point. She's an American coming into this. She might not have made all that history and that learning part of her kids growing up, because it's not kind of on her radar. That's my only justification for it. I'm trying to make a reasoning for it, because I agree. I would have thought they would have known everything, but the fact that they didn't know anything, even Mary was surprised by that, because, you know, Mary is kind of a traditionalist to some degree. And you would have thought that she would have known these things, or at least at some been taught these things and remembered them. But they were not decent docents. They were horrible.
They were horrible.
It was kind of a shock how much they didn't know.
But I really liked the little bits that we did get.
Yeah,
you know,
it was great.
Like the reason why that one room looks different from all the others. That beautiful ceiling that we've seen lots of times, and
why
they've been featuring
it.
That might be why it's called Downton Abbey, says the town.
Of course,
person.
Just. Yeah, I never put that together. That.
Gold star to you, guest. You can come back next year.
How could you not know? I mean, not even put that together.
Oh my God! But then, you know, Edith.
Yeah.
You know, they were living that life. I mean, she was so lame.
I mean, the
so
artwork
funny.
Really. They didn't learn any of the artwork.
No. Well. Maybe they didn't. Maybe what they're demonstrating
was
that
the girls' thing. Like they were allowed to learn when they were able to go to any kind of education.
But you can make the argument that this is one of the things that fell by the wayside as we got closer and closer to the end of this. It wasn't as interesting. It wasn't as important. Who knows?
But it was like 1898.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's true. But either they were taught it, maybe they just forgot it. Because they were kind of like half baked memories or whatever. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with reasoning for
it. The thing is that, and I think you made this point before we came in, that one of the things that was great about having this open house was we got the feeling
as an audience that you go, oh good, we get to know some of this stuff, because we want to take a tour through Downton Abbey, don't we? I mean, so this was perfect. But I actually wanted to know the real history. So I was like, oh, that's great. I've always wanted to know. Well, you had mentioned the little shield over the fireplace. Why don't they have anything? And you go, I've always wanted to know that. And we still didn't get to know.
I didn't have time to Google that. We've talked about it in past seasons, and I'll just re-mention it, that Lady Carnarvon, who lives at Downton, or, you know, Highclere, which is the setting for Downton Abbey, has written a couple of books.
Yes,
And I read one of them, and it's interesting, and you do get to learn some. And she has a blog as well, so it's kind of interesting to look at.
And I bet some of these questions were some of the questions they get asked all the time, but some of them it just didn't answer.
And we only got one of them answered. The library was assembled by the Fourth Earl. Well, what else did he collect?
Women.
Horses and women. Ding, ding.
Yes. Nicely.
Oh,
nice.
Violet.
Thank you, Violet.
You know, and just quickly, just because I know this, and actually a fan had mentioned it in the last couple of weeks, that Highclere Castle had Rothschild money. That's why it has maintained over the years.
Okay.
And so, you know, the family of unlimited funds.
I've never heard of
literal unlimited funds, pretty much.
All righty then.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping that
up. Yeah, another thing about Violet, when she was talking, when are we going to come back to when she's talking to Robert, or have we done that one already? Yeah, so she said, you know, I don't want to tell her, I don't want to see her until I'm used to having a traitor in the family.
And then she said later on, of course, can I speak to you? No, you may not.
Shut her down. And, you know, if I could choose between principal and logic, I'd choose principal every time. Like, if we had that on a multiple choice quiz, we would know that about her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She would choose
principal every time. Well, her principal.
Yeah.
I love when she gets in a snit, though, because the whole thing, she's just, you know, and the way she's moving people away.
And, like, squeezing out, and even at the end.
And Mosley. Mosley loving the gossip.
Yeah.
Well, also that, but also
I thought he was going to step up and say something.
He probably knows all that history.
I know, right?
And I was like, is it going to be his moment to shine? I thought it was going to be a moment that he was going to like pick up the thing and be like, but I guess that would have been appropriate. Nice.
It would have been, but it would have been great if they had been aware enough to realize that Mosley knows all this. He would have been
great.
He would have been an amazing docent.
Well, maybe that's going to be his new job going forward when they open the house.
That might be regular very interesting because and the test he's going to take with his general knowledge. He certainly seemed to have a lot of general knowledge about Downton Abbey.
He does, indeed.
General knowledge. So there you go.
Yeah, tutoring Daisy all this time, and now he's going to perhaps get an opportunity. And I think you're the one who said a couple weeks ago that he would make a great teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So
we'll see how that flows, comes through with Dawes and the test he's going to take and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
that's actually was a really nice thing happening there. Mosley was big in this episode because he also had the stuff with Baxter, and then he also had the stuff with Daisy. So Mosley was all over the place, and then we saw him being giddy as all get out, as you mentioned, with the gossip.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was funny to me.
We haven't had that much. From
she
him
needs
in a, while.
A glass of water and a fan, or whatever it was he said.
Well, let's finish up with Mosley because.
Okay, Baxter.
Okay, so she gets
the letter.
The
criminal.
And, you know, and I forgot the criminal's name. I'm sorry, I didn't write down. I couldn't remember.
It's
like,
on here
whatever
somewhere.
It is. Thank you.
Starts
you can
with
find
a C.
It.
C, yeah.
So I'm just going, what is she thinking? And now, do you think she's doing that because he still has a hold on her? Does she's considering this because
there's,
she wants to put it to bed? She wants to. Or do you think she goes, no, I really need to do this for myself to close this? Or some, you know, what do you think?
There's something we don't know, and I think that's been very clear, you know, over the last couple of weeks.
I
don't know. Do we want to make some predictions?
Well, we can do it now, or what was your feeling on it as we were saying it? Because I'm going, just get don't go visit the guy.
Toss it in the trash.
Exactly.
It's over.
Mosley's argument is no, throw it away, burn it. Move on.
He's being sensible.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What could he have possibly? I don't know. I feel like it's just she didn't get to testify, so like that wound sort of it got open, but then it didn't get closed
heal it
because
or
you didn't
anyway.
Get your moment to at least say your piece, whatever that is.
He still got his 10 years.
Because what else could it be?
Yeah, well, he got 10 years. It's done. I mean, there's your salve. He got 10 years. You didn't have to be in the public.
You hold on to that, and you really when she got up the courage to go actually do it, like so she opened herself back up, like to all these feelings. That she probably had been like shoving down for years, and now they don't just like evaporate back.
Oh,
away.
Write a letter and be done with it. Don't go visit him.
And you know, I think it's fairly obvious that the story's not over.
Yeah.
So she's going to probably go see him, and then we'll learn more. And what is he going to like? You know, weave his web from jail.
Well, she better go see him because if it's as anticlimactic as going to court, not testifying,
they have to like clean that up.
So
well, maybe it turns out that it was all her plan to begin. And she actually like has rehabilitated her criminal behavior, and he's gonna call her out for
she's
it.
She's really an evil mastermind.
She's the one. Yes,
yes.
Playing the chess pieces
and
on a three-dimensional board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why she didn't want to testify. That
would
she wasn't
ring.
Actually a victim.
No, yeah, that would ring real true. But okay. Well, tongue firmly in cheek. All right, let's. I want to get back to the sisters because this was the kissing episode. We had a lot of
kissing
and
Mary and Tom.
Many eye rolls. Like they must have headaches from rolling their eyes, especially Mary. How stupid could he even be?
Oh my God! Well. I mean, I guess it starts out in some degree, you know, because Edith is saying that, you know, well, I guess it was Cora that said, you know, you want to invite Birdie here.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I really is. She's like, yeah. Is it really actually, worth it?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
Is it worth it as opposed to your car mechanic?
Like, I'm a car mechanic. Oily?
Oily, his oily car mechanic. The first time, and then the second time in front of Tom.
Yeah,
is it your car? And he goes, "Hey,
hey,
I'm a car mechanic. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks."
And just the sisters bickering and at each other. Go ahead.
Tom was just great. We're like,
terrific.
Hello, lady. You don't get to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, just calling her
again. Ken, I thought they're really using him well.
So good.
Yes.
You know, advancing. You know, his character, but also just a lot of expos as well. Mm-hmm. But keeping that going and teasing them, playing. Peacemaker between the sisters,
yes.
And then calling Mary out, saying, "Oh, who is this flexible person I see before me? I don't recognize my own sister Mary."
Yes.
No, sort of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So, but because Anna has having an issue, Mary decides, "Okay, no, we're going to take you to London." And then on her own decides to create this surprise meeting where Evelyn and Henry will be dining.
Yes,
invites Tom to go
at
along.
The Criterion,
exactly.
Yes.
It was our, okay.
All so, right, where Edith has been in the past.
Yes, I've been many a nice meals with Mike.
Why must you put a cast of deathly palm over? Come on, for God's sake!
And then later
harsh.
On, you know,
the eye roll,
the circus. Mm-hmm. Okay, so but anyway, so they go there, and all right, ladies, what did you think of the gown?
I thought it was very Cleopatra-esque.
I loved it,
and I liked it a lot. The gold and the, what is it, teal, green?
Yeah, I would say it was.
She looked great.
The headpiece, I wasn't entirely in love with, just because the way the fabric. I'm going to really geek out.
Yeah, go ahead, geek out.
The fabric that they used was sort of, you know, it was a little bit of, had a little bit of a crush pattern to it. And so it made it look just ever so slightly downgraded to me because I like it when things are really crisp on this. And I'm sure it was, you know, authentic and it still looked beautiful, but it was just, it wasn't my favorite headpiece. But I loved the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, is she skinny.
Yes. And that was her medium smart look.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Medium smart.
I understand
what that means. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Really? That was medium smart.
Super duper fancy.
I didn't know. I was like, medium smart. Okay. But I felt it was a little costumey to me because of the headpiece, because it was a little bit bulkier than I wanted it to be. And it just, I don't know. But
and
it
also,
still looked, she looked great. But.
The wideness of the ruffle at the bottom. I wanted it to be just a hair. Just a hair, not as, you know, fishtaily.
Okay.
Yeah, mermaidy. I wanted it to be just a little bit less.
But I mean, say I was not a fan of the cloak that once they leave and she had the.
There was fringe on the bottom and
like it just didn't seem to go with the delicateness of the dress. Like, I don't know. They've had some better overcoats that I've seen.
It did mostly protect her from the rain, though.
It did.
P.S. when she came in from the rain, and I weren't going to talk about the rain.
She was not wet.
She was wet.
Well, she was.
The whole bottom of her dress was wet. It had
dress.
A different and,
like,
she, and like the front of her hair right
so
here was like PC and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And I loved that she actually appeared a little bit wet.
You guys are hysterical geeking out like that. That is a joy to watch.
I'm glad you spotted that. Because I was like, the bottom of that dress would be soaked with the way
wet.
That it came down. So I knew that I didn't. Okay.
It was. I checked it.
All right.
I wanted to see that.
So the customers got that right.
They did. It was a gorgeous dress, though. It was very unusual and beautiful.
All right. If any more geeking out on the outfits or anything?
Yes. Okay. Cora's night clothes are gorgeous.
Yeah. The
two robes that she had, one of them she wore last week. It's like gold with a little ruffle around the neck. And then she had another one that had a little ruffle around the neck. And they're absolutely gorgeous.
Just delicate and
beautiful.
And she has her braid flowing
that
down.
Wasn't she so pretty in that scene? She was really pretty.
I've got to bring this back to
the especially with the light in the bedroom. It's like it was great. Anyway,
all right, so we're back at the meal with Evelyn and at the Criterion with Evelyn and Henry, and the surprise that she created for.
Yes.
Just again, fun stuff, and the little tête-à-tête between everybody. I guess we can't say that tête-à-tête between everybody, but anyway. You know, we met here. We came out together. I'm a singleton, yes, but not a war widow.
Yeah, why did she point that out?
I'm not
just
sure.
Just because she, it's embarrassing to, is it embarrassing to her to not be a war widow?
I don't know. It seems for me, it seemed like a miss. It's like, why are you calling attention to that? Why does that matter? And why did you say that? It just made, it just kind of.
Made it very awkward.
The other thing is everything. Was she nervous? Everything she says is so freaking condescending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That she almost made the fact that her husband didn't die in the war better than the war widow's death.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that how it felt? A little bit.
Her man was a hero and he died in a car accident. So everybody should know that, and that's how she wants it to
be. Yes. Yes. He was a war hero.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I guess.
And then there was also that weirdness when he was saying, Henry was saying, well, turn your favor towards Carr. No, you won't. No, there's just, she was just really short with him, but in kind of a playful way. But I'm going, if that's flirting, that's weird.
But apparently it works.
Yeah, it worked. Right? It worked because, right. He likes the challenge. And, you know, it's easy.
Why
don't
I walk you home?
Yeah, and Tom goes, oh, that'd be a great idea. Yeah. But I guess I'll walk this way. He was sharp.
Like a book.
Yeah, but you know, this the look, and he caught that look nicely. Right, like, oh, yeah. Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice way to go, Tom.
I got lots to do.
I have a lot of reading to do.
Which, of course, allowed them to go walking and end up walking in the rain together, in the tunnel, and they had a kiss. And then there was the talk of the prospects, and he realizes he's,
he's in love.
What did he say? My prospects are modest.
Modest, to say the least.
But
I'm falling in love with you.
Yes.
And I was surprised
I was shocked.
Were you? Yeah, because I didn't.
You're falling in love?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
And this is all happening so fast.
Yeah, so kind
of. Yeah, I don't know. We've known each other for, 2 years. We've been together on 4 dates. You're kissing me way too fast.
Well, I guess, obviously for the time.
Yes, but I'm falling in love. We've only been out twice, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of weird. I would be scared off a little bit.
Yeah, well,
it was
compelling for her.
But I mean, I guess they don't really get to go out much. They're like, okay, 3 dates, we're married. Yeah, and it's
that's
great.
How they used to do it. I didn't find that odd at all. And him dropping the wife word.
Oh yeah.
But she loved it.
Oh yeah.
She
so did you like the scene? Were you? First of all, you were surprised by the scene that the kiss happened here.
Well, I'm glad the kiss happened.
Yeah.
Because I would have been like, okay, come on now. It's been long enough. But when he was like, I'm falling in love with you, it was very
too much. Was it dreamy?
It was soap opera for me, but he's hot, so I buy it. I'll take it.
He's cute, isn't he?
I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's great.
He's cute.
He's the best thing they've done for Mary since Matthew died, so okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, he's right. Very cute. And he matches her, which I think is great.
Well, wait a minute. Does he match her? Because he's definitely... He'll never be as rich as she is or as George. So, okay.
And that's what matters.
He's nice. He's mad about you. And
he
likes
cars.
I rest my case. Tom was awesome.
I loved that.
I love
nice,
his personality.
He's mad about you and he likes cars. That was so great. That was so great. What I mean by matches her is he stands up to her.
Sure.
He challenges her.
But then he says, you're the boss. And then he's like, I'm going,
he knows when to fan her flame a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think he does. I think you're right.
So, all right, let's even match. We like this.
Yeah,
we're good.
We got to scoop.
All right, let's get on to Edith. Because now, Edith had her kiss, and she thought it was nice. It was
and
automatic.
It felt automatic.
Yeah. But automatic in a good way. Like this, it's just, and that was quick,
that was
too.
An interesting choice of words. But automatic.
Yeah, they've been doing it. Yeah, natural might have been a better word, but that's what she meant, I'm assuming.
She's
very happy. It seemed really natural. And they do seem like perfectly positioned. And I'm going, okay, that's not going to end well.
Something's got to happen.
Well,
I thought you said dad.
No. That's not going to end well. Just because, you got to have some conflict for him. So, but it is nice to see her just so easily fall into it and enjoy it. And, it's great for Edith. It's great to see Edith happy.
He's going to get weirded out by Marigold.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they need to have something happen. Yeah. And the way she was like, oh, and... this is Marigold without any extra. And Cora asks about it later. Yeah. Like, oh, at some
God
point she's
going
to have to tell him. And it's going to be weird.
He says, God bless you, Marigold.
Right, which I thought was a very sweet moment. Yeah. But it's, I guess, I can see how that would change his, he's looking at her as a poor, poor orphan.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, true. But then also, just the way that Cora and Lord Grantham were talking about him, it's not like he's got huge prospects either. So
true.
Because he's,
But,
Yeah, oh, no, I agree.
They're very judgy. Oh, you're a whore. You had a baby? No way. No, this is not going to work. So. because God forbid, you know, a lady had any fun outside of a marriage. Well,
that's true. That's true. But so that, I think that's great. That's a good thought, though, that for dramatic sake, the conflict of that is that he's not going to be able to deal with it, or he'll have a hard time reconciling that.
He likes that she's like a sort of a modern woman. There has to be something that's going to put this like doughy-eyed, I love you so much moment into peril.
Sure. Why not?
It'll be marigolds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Speaking of not going well, Daisy interrupting Pat Moore and
Daisy,
Mason.
The green-eyed monster.
Yes, like, what is she all upset about?
Total cock blocker, not to say a rude word, but I was like, goodness gracious.
Well, incredibly rude.
Why was she so hostile?
Is it she
about
just wants
it?
Mason to him? She likes the doting on her and stuff? She wants him to do herself.
I couldn't figure it out because she, in one breath, she's saying, oh, you know, he likes to be by himself and he's fine. And so she doesn't seem to really want to like nurture that relationship between them.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it makes absolutely no sense. I felt like if anything, she felt more attached to Pat Moore and doesn't want to lose her to a man off in a cottage somewhere. Maybe that's why she was so hostile about seeing them click. I don't know.
Maybe, but her the rudeness of her actions was really more focused on Mrs. Pat Moore.
Yeah. It was directed
at her. Pursuing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, opening the letter first of all, and then throwing it away
in the rubbish pile,
and like dig through the compost to find it. Gross. And then, you know, she almost pitched a fit when he came over with the produce.
Oh, she did pitch a fit. Yeah. She's like, "You already said thank you. Why
she
are you
was
back?"
Practically like, stomping her feet. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Rude.
It'd be interesting to find out what the actual reason.
It was slightly entertaining, but I was a little confused.
Yeah. But what is cute is the two of them, Pat Moore and Mason. Yeah. That is kind of cute.
I'm
that
so
stuff going
glad.
On. Yeah.
Yeah.
To see what happens there. And, you know, then the whole idea that her house is ready, the niece is taking over.
She's getting
a telephone. And then that Mr. Mason might be part of that in some fashion.
Yes.
I mean, I just think, oh, that's great.
This
I love
fantastic.
That.
And
nice
it doesn't
thing.
Make sense that Daisy wouldn't be happy and excited that these could
unless she's thinking,
happen.
Well, if he goes with her, I have nobody.
Right.
Is that what she's thinking?
But she wouldn't not, like, Pat Moore would never, like, that just still doesn't make
sense. I agree, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's rational. I'm just wondering, is that her reasoning? She doesn't always think rationally, let's put it.
No, she does not. She's not known for being level-headed.
So, that's the only thing I can consider at the moment, but, you know, we'll find out later, I guess.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we already talked to Baxter a little bit. Let's go on to Bates and Anna. Just that they had that nice.
She's got a ligament problem.
Yeah. But it was nice, you know, the whole thing when they're at home and he's talking about a fire and then they have that thing and look, we put this, keeping me hidden from your. What's going on is no longer happening anymore. That was interesting. And then the whole pride issue about him not paying.
Yeah.
Him wanting to pay.
His pride is more important to him than the money.
And that was just a nice moment. I'm going, great. They're finally doing something else with that storyline. They're giving these characters something.
one of our listeners or viewers mentioned that they think she's going to have twins. That Anna's going to have twins based on
that's why the ligament's stretching.
Yeah, based on this. Based on this. So that's one of the predictions that we got from the viewer.
All right,
I buy that.
Okay,
if she has babies.
Yeah. Putting that out of there again, huh?
Ringing that bell. There's a possibility because I don't want to get my hopes up and really get destroyed.
It's
no, you're
going to
get your hopes up.
Yeah. It's going to be the happy moment of Christmas.
I hope so. Okay, not a happy moment is the Hughes Carson thing going on there.
Oh, good lord.
Okay, how can he be so
Carson,
blind?
Because he's dumb as a rock, apparently. This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible.
Exactly the word.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, blind, critical, and then he like smooths it over by, you know, a fair dinner made or wonderful dinner made by the fair hands of my beautiful wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That does not cut it.
Yes. But I keep going, neither of this works because he can't be that blind. And I'm going, Mrs. Hughes has never been this tight-lipped and quiet. It was like, it's her husband, and maybe there's a propriety about saying something, but he doesn't have any problem. So I'm going, when is she going to say something? I'm just waiting for her to explode.
Because
when they're at the dinner and he goes, what's next? And she says, duck. I'm going, you better duck because something's going to come flying.
And then he goes, is it going to be crispy just like Mrs. Patmore makes it? And
I'll give you crispy, mister.
Are you kidding me? Yep. He's not a stupid
man. But this is one of those storylines that drives me crazy. It comes, okay, it's the same scene just about every time move this along. I mean, just and I like them. I love their story.
Building
but
the fire.
Don't you know?
And when he started talking about making up that bed, I was gonna smack him myself.
Yeah, and I would say a little bit out of character because he hasn't shown her any like great affection over the last two episodes. With you know, and I know there's the marital conflict that we're talking about, and you have to sort of make it something so that it will pay off.
Right.
But still, by the same token, it seems because but, he's been so kind in the past.
Yes, they had such nice, quiet moments of tenderness and generosity.
Sweetness.
Yeah, those kinds of things. And you know, none of that's happening right now. And I think that would make that even more powerful to have those moments as well, because then your sense
right, it makes the conflict look more, more delicious. One of the biggest things I have a problem with Carson in this episode is that he's not drinking.
Because
of Lord Grantham not drinking.
Because his officer.
We're not drinking because we didn't have a darn corkscrew.
Yes,
I brought wine with a cork in it today.
That is really pathetic, by the way.
No, new studios, no
wine,
corkscrew.
No corkscrew. That's terrible.
Okay. I didn't think I needed to bring it this
time. Right.
We've learned our lessons.
We have.
So, but now, obviously, Hughes is going to say something at some point.
Yeah, well, and there was a, I think I read something that said that they're cooking up, pardon the pun, a, you know, a revenge dinner for him.
Fine.
Pat Moore and Hughes are cooking. Well, you know, giving him his just desserts.
Feeding him his crow.
Feeding him his crow. What other food metaphors can we get in there?
Exactly.
And we had someone write in and say that she was going to poison him and accidentally kill him with the, which I think is ridiculous, but funny.
Funny.
Yeah, a little, maybe going a little too far.
Maybe
but,
a little
you know,
bit.
I think Hughes might.
Well, she doesn't want to kill him.
No,
she just
I just
wants to knock him out a little bit.
No, I just want to make him a little less sour.
Yeah.
Yes. Even
Another
though she knows.
Metaphor thing.
Yeah. He was too old to be trained to be a husband.
Right. Right. We did
That's true.
He was a little old to be
that.
Trained.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, we have to talk Thomas because we've only got a few minutes left. But the whole thing there, obviously, you know, he's done a good thing for Andrew. He's trying to help him, teach him to read.
Yeah.
So just like Mosley's helped, you know, the parallel here, Mosley's helped Daisy, and everybody's saying what a great thing that is. Even Mr. Dawes says, "Do they know how what a good deed you've done for her?" And but you know. Here's Thomas doing the exact same thing. Of course, they don't know that yet, but because they're keeping it a secret, when Pat Moore overhears what's going on, she thinks...
Naughty, naughty.
Yes, because that's...
You seem to have a private understanding
with
Andy.
Andrew.
Yeah, and Carson catches Andrew leaving.
And the heartbreak...
He lies horribly.
Right, that's the heartbreak of it, is... I gave you my word, and it's still not good enough.
Yeah.
So his
I
word,
wish it
his
I only
service...
Wish it was.
Yeah.
But that's
don't
his
wish,
fault.
Just take it.
Mm-hmm.
Whose
that's,
fault?
That's Thomas's fault.
Well,
yeah, to a large degree, yes, because he's never done anything to foster a good relationship.
On one side, be
people.
One way, and then on the other side, be the other way, and expect people to believe one way.
But
like,
you know, but
work.
Then people are also thinking the worst too. They're not giving him any of the benefit of the doubt.
Help.
And I think Carson is. I think we overstepped. The guy gave you his word, and you know, I understand. It feels like he has a duty to Andrew, and I understand that too. But I just think that he hasn't. Look at how good he was with the kids. I mean, what has he done that really
makes
him?
But then just 2 weeks ago, he's calling out the old maid and embarrassing her in front of the entire and embarrassing the family because he's making them. So he hasn't. No, he does not have a track record of positivity. And though he got my heart back a little bit, what was that, last week or the week before?
I would be the same way. But what about the last sequence? The last scene when he's alone? He's crying.
It's awful.
He's
but it's one
injury.
Of those things where you're like, dude, you did it to yourself. Like, no, everybody is giving you
so
ample
no,
opportunity.
No sympathy for him at
I
the
mean,
moment.
I have sympathy. He
right.
was hurting.
Yeah.
But you still did that to yourself.
Okay.
He, right. Well, he, you know, just to reiterate that, she's, you know, we're talking about how he has laid the groundwork on which, you know, all of this other stuff is coming in. And, you know, he is doing a kind deed.
Yeah.
He is doing kindness with the kids. He did, you know, do some good things in the past. And he said it himself just a couple weeks ago or last week, you know, I must be changing in my old age.
No.
But, you know, the general consensus is he can't change. You're not going to change. You're not changing. And your word has not been good in the past. Why should it be now? I'm sad for him.
Yeah.
I'm still dead sure he's going to kill himself.
Especially after that last scene.
Yeah.
Gracious, that does look like
I wouldn't be surprised if that's when it happened.
We did have one of our comments on YouTube saying that they think everybody's going to die.
That's our Courtney's position.
Except for Thomas. He's going to be the last man standing.
Oh.
Wow.
And
going to
become, you know, the butler of Downton Abbey. I don't think for a second that's going to happen, but one of our listeners thought so.
Downton blows up?
It blows up.
Some freak gas accident or something?
They have, like, a race car thing to raise money at Downton, and then, like, the car runs
the car crashes
the
into the crowds, and everyone dies.
And, we didn't talk about that, but Mary and Henry did address that issue.
Yes.
Because we had talked about that a couple
Thank goodness, because that needed to be said out loud
about
in front
time
of us.
They did. It was kind
of
like they went, I might want to talk about that.
Yeah.
It's like, I
Uncle
understand.
Julian finds it.
Is the duck crispy?
All right. Well, before we get into the kind of shout-outs or anything like that, does anybody have last thoughts?
Edith's comment to Tom, I think it was, you know, well, I'm as pleased for her as she would be for me. Yeah. You know, that was just one of the, I just thought that was very well put.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially after Mary, Mary's constantly saying these
Snarky.
Things like, she's so stupid to have saddled herself with a child. Why would any man want to take her on? And then her father saying, I think she could develop into one of the interesting women of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was How cool was that? Great. That was really great for him.
And that echoes the way he championed her earlier when he said, I should be apologizing to you.
Oh, don't even bring it up. It's going to make me cry.
Yeah, okay.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't talk about Ms. Cruikshank.
Oh, Lord Merton, that's right. They laid that in nicely because Lord Merton, And apparently not everybody in Lord Merton's family agrees with Larry.
Yes.
That Isabel might not be the horrible thing that he's presented her to be.
No. What do you guys think about that?
I think she's honest. I think she's legitimate.
Well, in the coming ups, there was a scene with her and Violet.
Violet, right. Yeah.
You know, really, Violet really accusing her of something.
Right.
Thing that we don't know yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What could that be?
I don't know. Maybe she's accusing her of trying to get into good graces with Isabel for some reason, and it's not. I'm guessing it wouldn't be for honest reasons that we think at the moment. But certainly, Lord Merton has bought all of it. Yeah.
And I loved the scene when Violet he was getting introduced to her outside of the open house.
Sure.
Violet gave eyes like I've never seen. She looked her up and down like, you are the who the hell? Like,
she took the measure of the woman and found it wanting.
That was great, Dave. Yeah.
Indeed,
you
indeed.
Did amazing in that.
Yeah.
And just one thing with Mary at the end when they're talking about, let's turn Downton into a permanent visitation spot or whatever.
Yes.
And she called everybody. She said, this is weakling talk to the entire family.
Yeah.
Mary's
and Edith thinking that we're fat women in the circus and stuff because everyone wants to take a look
at us. The bearded lady.
Is that what it was?
No.
Yeah, that was,
it wasn't.
Okay.
Monkeys.
Running short, do we have any?
I just have one little bit of news, and that is.
All right, let's get to our news, and then if we have any shout outs, we'll talk about that.
I do have some shout outs.
Here we go with news. Here's a ticker tape. We don't have it. The drop in.
Maggie Smith was ready for Downton Abbey to finish.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And I began to wonder whether I had the energy to carry on. The dressing up and the corsets and the hats, it was a long process and exhausting. I mean, she's 81, 84. Sorry, I can't remember. She says that after all these years, she's an Academy Award winning actress from her very young days.
Yes.
And after all these years, I'm known more for Harry Potter and Downton Abbey than anything else.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She's had a fabulous career. I remember from, California Suite, a whole bunch of other things.
Prime Minister Jean Brody is what won her Oscar for. That's it for news. There wasn't a whole lot. Right. But I want to do some shout-outs. Ian Armstrong, Tara Kay, Sylvana Dill, Pablo, Eric Tall, Catherine Smith, Matt Lau. A lot of these are regular ones. Rich, I'm going to say, because I can't pronounce all the rest of it. Jay Simmons, Downstairs Abbey. He or she is the one who says that fate intervenes with Thomas over and over in the past. You know, he's been redeemed many times in the past, and he's going to be the last one standing. Mm-hmm. Kathy Raisler, Delicious Talk Podcast, Eileen Williams, Nicole Wolk, and Amelia Craig, who said last week she loved John Comerford in particular on the podcast.
Oh.
So there.
She's fabulous. There I love her.
She's your favorite commenter.
She's incredible. Let's have her on. Give her a call.
Come on in.
We'll do a call. Thank you.
Hey, if anybody knows of anything about those the shields being empty.
Yeah, yeah, what that reasoning is.
I would love to know about that.
Yeah, you've always wanted to know that.
I'm a big Anglophile, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I'm sure we'll have plenty of theories of that too. Whatever your theories are, whether there's the shields or what's coming up in the episodes or what you think will be the future of Downton.
Always laugh on Mondays, Sunday nights on Mondays, because I love reading your guys' comments and we emails and tweets. Thank you so much.
There is entertaining.
And if you're
show.
So inclined, and especially if you love us, rate and comment on iTunes.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah, we need some.
We haven't had any ratings and comments
that'll
there.
Help us to, you know,
download us, rate us, and comment.
Especially you guys who like us.
Yeah, if you don't like it, don't bother.
Don't bother.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a waste of your time.
Don't spread the negativity.
Exactly.
Just hold on.
Share the love, but not the negativity.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Well, we got to run. So, Courtney, please tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter, and my website is TamaraCentral.com.
Okay, and I don't have a Twitter or a Facebook.
You can find you at Home Depot.
Instagram. Looking for more.
Looking for more.
All right, thanks everybody. We appreciate it so much for listening.
I know it's getting sad. We're already starting to cry.
It's getting sad. We are not looking forward to the end of this, but we are looking forward to talk to you next week. So we'll see you soon.
We'll see you guys. Right,
bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.